You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, February 19th, and a special day here on the show. One of my media heroes from growing up as a kid here in Metro Detroit, John Mason. You know him as Mason because that's his last name. But this is your boy, Matt Shook. You can just call me Shook if you want. Go ahead and do that. A sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA and the Pistons for the news, the Detroit News, and also the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. Appreciate you guys. We're pumping out the content still on the week of All-Star break as the Pistons do not play until Friday night. But today we're gonna wrap up All-Star weekend. Blake Griffin absolutely stole the show on Sunday night. I kid. I'm basically kid about everything with All-Star weekend. But we'll have part one of our interview with Mason, the public address announcer at Little Caesars Arena, longtime Pistons icon, really. There, I'll say it. And we're also going to give the lowdown on the Reddit mailbag, which will be coming later this week. Already some great questions and exciting things for me to dip my toes into later this week. But by the way, speaking of dipping my toes, and I don't know what that segue means, but give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check out the Facebook page, Locked On Pistons-MattShook. The people who know me were probably pretty nervous when I talked about something about my toes. But anyway, we took President's Day off on Monday just because I got home late from Toledo and was pretty tired on Sunday night and hadn't watched the All-Star game. But we've got Mason parts one and two of the interview coming this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We've got the Reddit mailbag started, looking for queries and questions. That's going on the Detroit Pistons subreddit, so check that out. Send your questions in there, or you can just DM to me or send me an email if you'd prefer, whatever. That'll probably turn into a two-parter Thursday and Friday based on the responses we're already getting. And then next week, you know, we'll rock and roll into the regular schedule there as well. A couple of plugs. Check out the Detroit News this week. I'll have a story on transfers for Michigan State basketball. Marvin Clark and Javon Bess. I talked to those guys over these past few days. They're doing well for their schools. Interesting stuff in there. They talked about Coach Izzo quite a bit. I was down in Toledo on Sunday night catching out a Toledo Walleye game, member of the ECHL, and basically, for lack of a better term, AA affiliate, a secondary affiliate of the Detroit Red Wings, as you may know from following me on social media. I spent some time with the Red Wings on Thursday and Friday as well. We'll be back at practice on Tuesday. And I'm going to go see a high school game on Tuesday night. Looking forward to telling you guys about that, too. It's kind of a side project that I'm going to start working on as well that hopefully we'll be talking about down the line. But wanted to give a quick rundown on All-Star Weekend in Charlotte in case you missed it like I did. I didn't really watch any of it. Had it on. I was out with some friends Saturday night and saw the dunk contest kind of in the background there and the three-point shootout. And then, like I said, tried to get home to watch the final. I walked in to my place right as the game went final, and I did watch the replay for about 5 minutes, but just caught up on the highlights and everything that you need to know about that game, which wasn't much. But basically, we'll start with All-Star Saturday, the Skills Challenge, which was won by Jason Tatum of the Celtics. That's all I have to say about that. The three-point shootout, Joe Harris of the Nets made more three-pointers and possibly more money balls than all the other three-point shooters, so he's the winner of that. And I don't want to be too, making fun of this whole thing, because All-Star Saturday is for the kids, and that's fine. And I like that. I was a kid once, if you can believe that. I remember very fondly watching Vince Carter and even like the tail end of Jordan's dunk contest, although most of my memories of those come from those Come Fly With Me videos. But, the dunk contest is cool, always has been for kids and teenagers. And, of course, now it's less about the dunks and more about the props and the guests and the theatrics, which is cool, too. I'm not that old to appreciate the fact, to not be able to appreciate the fact that, again, for the kids. And some cool stuff, the cool guests. I don't know who some of those folks were that came out there, probably rappers and people that I don't know. But I will say this, a little bit disrespectful or maybe disgraceful that a young LeBron and a young Kevin Durant, those guys never did the dunk contest. Even Giannis right now, I think it's a young man's game, obviously, that you need to get in there. And if you're especially one of the high-flying dunkers, get in there, especially the stars. And, Jeremy Jones and Hamidou Diallo winning these contests, it's like, all right. So, you know, props to a Donovan Mitchell type who goes in and plays that game, and Dennis Smith, who's like, you know, kind of not a star, but he's a very good player who's going to be in this league for a long time, who's doing the dunk contest. So props to those guys. You know, obviously you're risking a little bit of humiliation. You're risking getting last place, and guys like LeBron and Kevin Durant, you got nothing to gain maybe from some of this stuff, but that's not what Michael Jordan said back in the day. You know, there's a lot of good players that have done the dunk contest too. And props to, by the way, to Andre Drummond, an all-star at the time that he did it in 2016, jumping in that contest. So our very own Andre Drummond going in there and trying his hand at it as a young man as well. But Hamidou Diallo, like we mentioned, did the Vince Carter hang on the rim after jumping over Shaq. Good for him. Congratulations on the win. I understand that it was not super good of a dunk contest other than that one dunk. So I guess I saw everything I needed to see with the highlight there. Hamidou Diallo is a rookie, a guy that I've talked about on this show before the trade deadline as a guy the Pistons could have targeted, especially with Oklahoma City in need of three-point shooters. I saw a nice match there between the Pistons and the Oklahoma City Thunder with Reggie Bullock and possibly Hamidou Diallo, and maybe, you know, basically a similar type of deal that they made for Bullock eventually with the Lakers anyway, for Svi Mihailuk there. So, by the way, just some things. I'm going to keep an eye on Diallo. We're going to bring him up as a guy the Pistons maybe could have had in a couple of ways now as the 45th pick in the draft this year. So he was available when the Pistons took Bruce Brown and Khyree Thomas, just two picks ahead of Svi when the Lakers swooped up the Kansas product at 47. So went right ahead of the Lakers there. A super athlete, obviously, goes without saying for Diallo. We saw that when he jumped over Shaq. He's 20 years old, an athletic freak, but just can't shoot at all. You know, doesn't have the skills, and it's the kind of big gamble that carries a lot of risk. You know, probably, you know, his career probably won't amount to much in this league. He might be out of the league sooner than we can believe, but if you can develop him as a prospect, if he can improve the skills, it could be a nice upside guy. So we'll be keeping an eye on him in terms of, you know, tangentially related to the Pistons, although, you know, I don't have any inside information that Oklahoma City was even interested in Reggie Bullock. But we'll also keep an eye on Oklahoma City if they have enough shooting, three-point shooting in the playoffs, because they didn't make a deal, and even though it's something that I believe that they will need come playoff time in some of those tough series that they're going to have. But moving on till Sunday, Team LeBron, the dynasty, wins 178 to 164 over Team Giannis in an absolute classic that I did not watch, and actually was not a classic by all accounts from what I read and listen to on the podcasts as well. Kevin Durant, as you know, is my favorite NBA player. I kid again. He gets MVP. For the Pistons, Blake Griffin, 10 points in 20 minutes, 6 rebounds, 4 of 8 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. I checked out his highlights, saw the lob from Kyle Lowry, the oop from Russell Westbrook as well, who apparently was typical Russ in this one, looking at the plus-minus and reading some of the commentary there. I was early on the anti-Russell Westbrook thing, by the way. I hated Russ even when it wasn't cool to hate Russ, when he was MVP Russ. So I'll pat myself on the back for that, as everyone seems to hate Russell Westbrook. Now, although a little bit of redemption this year, the narrative is that he's deferring a little bit more to Paul George, who's clearly the best player on the Thunder these days. But to be continued with that storyline come playoff time there. But Dirk Nowitzki and Dwayne Wade played. I like that. I like that they bring the two guys in from the two different conferences and let them play in what's going to be their last All-Star game. So cool thing there. I'm all for that kind of stuff. But the game in general, the splitting them up, the captains, the draft and everything, I've had this opinion before, and if you didn't hear me say it, you probably can guess every word that I'm about to say, but it's just not good enough of a shtick to change the East versus West All-Star thing. They had a nice little one-year honeymoon with it where the guys played hard last season, apparently, for 1 year, although it didn't seem to carry over for year two, and now we don't have a East versus West anymore and a bunch of guys that aren't really playing for anything at all. I do like the charity. I think they throw in some money for charity. I would have done that without changing the East versus West thing myself. And, like, do you even care who wins between Team Giannis and Team LeBron? Will you remember who wins? I don't think anyone will. I mean, back in the day, obviously when Isaiah and Joe and those guys were playing All-Star games, you'd watch it and root for the East. And then the going-to-work group as the foursome shutting down the West in that game. We remember in 05, or maybe that was 06, but whatever year that was. I think it's 06. But even when the Pistons had no All-Stars during the dregs of these years, I, you know, inclined to root for the East and the American League and the baseball All-Star game and all that good stuff. So if I was Adam Silver, I would get the six alphas, the three from each side, pull them into the office and say, hey, the All-Star game kind of sucks now. Let's try to make this better as terms of competitiveness, in terms of defense and all that stuff. Or we're going to start hosting more All-Star weekends in places like Detroit and Milwaukee and Indiana. And like they will be soon, by the way, Indiana. So play hard, and if you play hard, we'll cycle some more Vegas and Los Angeles and throw some Miami in there as well. That would have been my solution. But up next, we're going to talk to Mason, the guy, the man of the hour, Detroit radio legend, and public address announcer for the Pistons as well. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Pistons. Tell your folks to do that. Tell your kids to do that. Tell your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and your brothers and sisters. Just do that all day long. But we also have an important favor to ask you. We'd like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you, especially like you, and make your favorite Locked on podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete. And by participating, you are entering for the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Get your concert on, get your Pistons on, get your Tigers on this summer. Go visit lockedonpistons.com/survey to participate. That's lockedonpodcast.com/survey. We appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
Okay, now joining us is Mason. John Mason, Detroit radio legend with 105.9 KISS FM, noon to 3 on weekdays every day. But Mason, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, Matt, thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Now, something in your bio that I looked at that actually I didn't even realize, and I should have because I listened to you growing up in junior high and high school with JLB, with Mason in the morning all those years, but you're actually an Ohio guy, Cleveland, Ohio. How did it come about that you got to Detroit all those years ago?
As you said, originally from Cleveland, I got a job in St. Louis, Missouri. In the trade magazines, there was a false report. Someone listed me as the production director. I was just an assistant. And so someone in Detroit was looking for a production director, saw the misprint, called St. Louis, and that's how I got here. I came because I was trying to get out of the radio business. I had been in maybe 2 or 3 years, but I didn't like it. So I was trying to get out, and I said, if I could get this job in Detroit, I'm 3 hours from home in Cleveland, and I can go on the weekends, come back on Sunday, get the paper, the Sunday paper, look for a job, and go home and get out. So that's how that came about.
And now, obviously, you've played such a big part in Detroit radio and people's mornings and now people's afternoons. But and as we do this podcast here with the Locked on Pistons about, obviously, the Detroit Pistons, you've become such a big part of Detroit Pistons lore as well. I believe you jumped on the mic about 2001, if I'm correct on that. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right.
That's when you jumped in at the Palace. So how did that gig come about?
Well, I had switched radio stations. Somebody knew somebody. And they told me what all I had to do. They said, listen, you're new at the station, and the Piston organization wants you to do a players game in the city before the season. So I thought it was just because it was in the inner city. Mm-hmm. They wanted somebody from the inner city to help hype it. So I did it. Didn't know a thing about basketball from the perspective of referees and what goes on. So so I did that, and I said it would be a great opportunity to try to bargain with the Pistons for season tickets. But I did one, and then they said, okay, so we're going to do the next one at the Palace. So I said, oh, the announcer guy must be on vacation until the season starts. Mm-hmm. Heck, yeah, I'll do one there. I didn't know what I was doing. I remember introducing at that time the New Jersey Nets. And I didn't know what to say on it. So I had to introduce Jason Kidd. I went, Jason. And people looked at me like, what is he doing? I'm like, I thought that's what they did. So that's how I got there.
You know, your predecessor, Ken Calver, we had him on a year ago or so on the podcast.
Kenny got me that job,
though. Kind of a similar start as far as not really knowing that this was the gig when the gig happened.
But it was Kenny who told the Pistons, oh, try Mason. Mm-hmm. Like, he never said that to me or anything, but he told them that. But that's interesting. But it was Ken Calvert who spoke up for me first. I didn't know a thing about it. I don't even know why Kenny thought I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the really nuts and bolts of me getting in there. So they tried it with me.
And obviously it's become an iconic partnership with you guys. I mean, really through all, you know, some lean years here, these last 10 years at the Palace and Little Caesars Arena, the Detroit basketball still is something that lives on. So, I mean, that's obviously your calling card during games. Where did that come about?
And I try not to do it, though. I'll tell you where it came about, but I'll tell you why I try not to. I'm like, I'm not doing it. Here's how it came about. Maybe I should start at the beginning. We were playing, I can't remember who we were playing, but they had finally got a national telecast.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBA people were saying, this is a boring game. Now, you recall, Matt, Detroit's calling card was defense.
Sure.
So they were like, oh, this is a boring game. We're going to switch to the Rockets in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
So she started counting it down, 10, 9. I'm like, oh, no, don't do it. Because we're so prideful, and finally we got a national game. I want to say something about the city. Say something. So when she got to 9, I went, and it was Lindsey Hunter had taken the ball from a player, and then the player fouled him. And I went, Detroit basketball. Went, man, the people I work for, they turned all heads on that table, turned, and the guy, Pete Scorch, he put his hand up to his neck and said, no. And because they're still training me and teaching me. And he goes, Mason, never, if it's not a foul, if it's not a bucket, if somebody's not coming in or out of the game, if the refs don't take, you can't just make a call. That's not good. So Joe Dumars or somebody, maybe it wasn't Joe, but it was somebody who called Pete, and they were chewing him out.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, So I said, well, maybe my last game, but I got in what I wanted. I wanted to say something about Detroit. And it was actually a negative that I flipped to a positive. The negative at the time in arenas was air ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, Detroit basketball.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they were mad. So they told me, when I come back, we're going to have a meeting. I'm like, oh, I didn't want to go back. But the Pistons, a day later, played Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the stands had a humongous sign that said Detroit basketball.
Mm-hmm.
When I got back, they turned to me and said, whenever you want to say that, go right ahead. But it wasn't anything that I was trying to create or make up. I just wanted to shout out Detroit.
Mm-hmm. And funny that the origins of that kind of mirror Ken Calvert's Joe Dumars
call.
Where he was kind of saying, maybe this won't fly, and maybe they were upset at first.
Yeah, the Dumars,
Now, Mason, I got to assume that there's been times where maybe you jumped the gun and called for Detroit basketball and the refs had other ideas on which direction the ball should be going.
You know, it may not have necessarily been Detroit, but I remember Joey Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
I did a breakaway foul call before he made it.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped the game. He walked real slow. He came over. He said, young man, you don't make the call until I make the call. Do we understand each other? And I'm trembling because it's Joey Crawford.
Yeah, the boss.
So I'm like, yeah. So people were looking at me. So this is true. Third quarter, toward the end of the third quarter in that same game, he just stopped the game. He was in the far corner. He just stopped it for no reason. Did this slow walk over to me. I'm like, this is it. I'm done. I'm out. And he stood over me, wouldn't speak for about two, three seconds, and then said, you got it. You now got it. And he's resumed the game. I'm like, there was no reason for him to stop. So that was my big thing. So we became buddies.
Hard to believe that Joey Crawford would want that much attention.
I know, right? He was funny.
Well, thanks again to Mason for taking the time to join us. Actually, I joined him in the KISS 105.9 studios last week. We'll have part two of that interview coming up tomorrow on Wednesday's show. Again, thanks to Mason for having us at the studios there in Detroit City, pretty close to my apartment, so that was pretty nice. But also wanted to mention to you guys, as we touched upon earlier in the show, got the Reddit Locked On Pistons mailbag questions. So just go to that Pistons subreddit, which you should be going to anyway, I'm a troll. I'm not a troll. I lurk on the Pistons Reddit subreddit and check that out a few times a week to see what the memes are, to see what's going around the internet, and to see how all those guys are reacting. A lot of knowledgeable fans on Pistons Reddit runs the gamut of opinion in terms of negativity and positivity, which is fine, which is good, good and healthy. We appreciate all that stuff. A lot of informed fans on there, a lot of passionate fans on there. So first off, thanks to all the people who have already sent in mostly questions, but also some messages too. A lot of draft type of questions, which, as you know, or maybe you may know, I haven't really done too much research on it yet. I will start just a little bit to give you some kind of answer on those kind of questions. Maybe we'll check with an expert or two as well. Some free agency questions, given that there's a big class coming up, and obviously the Pistons not a whole lot of flexibility, but there will be some, especially given the mid-level exemption and also the biannual exemption that they will have at their disposal for the free agency market. But yeah, just some interesting questions that I've already seen from those guys and gals or whoever's on Twitter. So get on there, check out the, I made a discussion on it, Locked On Pistons Mailbag. You'll find it. It's up in the Detroit Pistons subreddit, and we'll answer those questions on Thursday and Friday. If you don't go on Reddit, that's fine. You can DM me on Twitter or email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com as well. So that's all we got for today. We're coming back with Mason tomorrow, some more. It's All-Star break, so hopefully you guys are, I don't know, maybe it's healthy to get away from hoops a little bit, but definitely stay with the Locked On Pistons podcast. But, you know, this team can give us some trouble and give us some emotional highs and mostly lows with this group as we've had for the past several years. But still, a third of the season to go. The Pistons should be squarely in the playoff hunt one way or another here over this next final couple months. Looking forward to it. And we will see how things shake down. But first, we're going to finish up All-Star Break Week these next few days. And excited to share the interview and some other things with you guys this week as well. So this is your host, Matt Schoch, saying thanks for listening. And we'll be back with you guys tomorrow.